This is Leo for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio at 99.5 FM, ktwh.org online. And I have got very special guests with me. I'm recording this the evening of January 23rd. Jess and Julie Koski, they're folks with deep northern Minnesota roots who are on a walk for love. And they're doing this cross-continent walk to bring awareness. Started out thinking it was 3,400 miles that they were going to be traveling across North America. It might even be more. We'll find out with Jess and Julie. They're bringing awareness to prevent opioid deaths through naloxone education and to honor the people that we've lost to this great challenge that we face with licit and illicit drugs, opiate addiction. So what an adventure for both of you. Julie and Jess, say hello to folks out in KTWH land, all 300 square miles of it.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Leo. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you as well. Jess is a former neighbor of mine. He's a father, a retired educator, and pretty renowned endurance athlete in our parts in Northeast Minnesota. And Julie, maybe you can tell me more about yourself. I haven't known you very long or had very many conversations. You are a nurse, and I'll call you a philanthropist. Obviously, you have a passion for public education on harm reduction and taking away the stigma of addiction that's brought you guys on this incredible journey. Can you give us the setting? Where are you guys right now? How far have you made it on your journey, and where are you spending the night?
Well, right now we're right outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, a state that we didn't think we'd be walking through.
you added to an already long itinerary.
More or less following the sun. We experienced some pretty frigid temperatures up in Colorado, so we made a last-minute decision to duck south a little bit, take a sharp left, and we're going to go down through maybe halfway of New Mexico and then take a right again and head west toward California. So that did add on a few hundred miles, but it's well worth it to us to have temperatures above freezing.
So the journey proper started sometime in 2023, and I was guessing that it was fall, but you told me it was much earlier than that. Can you give me a little story about how you got motivated and engaged to do this? Just, you know, journey of a lifetime, we'll call it. Maybe you're going to do something else after this that's just as amazing. But was this in the works for quite some time?
I believe that Jess had a great idea to walk across the country. And there's a number of people have done it. And there's some really great books that people have written afterwards. And we thought we wanted to do something epic. I'm an ER nurse, and I've seen so many people die from opioid overdose. I've been an ER nurse for 13 years, and the last 5 years have been terrible. And so when we were talking about walking across the country, we were talking about how every single community has been affected by people dying from opioid overdose. And so we decided to walk through every community and just talk to the people that we encounter about people who use drugs and how we want them to stay alive and recover. And just that was kind of like a very big inspiration for us. So we decided to sell our house in Duluth, and I quit my job, and we headed to Maine, to Acadia National Park, and dipped our fingers in the Atlantic Ocean and set out for the Pacific Ocean, I guess, on July 7th, which was my birthday.
Wow.
So that was our goal, to try to leave on Julie's birthday. And maybe even be done on my birthday, December 1st. But
you'll need a time compensation machine for that, Jess. But that's okay. And Jess, if I'm recalling right, I don't know if you are recently retired. That allowed you to also be part of this epic journey.
I think when did I retire? About four or 5 years ago.
Okay, so you've had time to percolate this idea.
Right, and so, as you know, I have my place in Clover Valley still, but I had a house in Duluth because my kids went to school in Duluth, and so I had to have a house there, and I've been trying to get it ready to sell for a number of years, and then finally we set this deadline for July 7th to start walking across the country, so the pressure was on, and it was a lot of work, and so we didn't get in much, you know, actual training for this, physical training.
Like zero.
Oh, don't you just train along the way then?
Right, yeah. I was kind of nervous about it because of that, you know, lack of fitness, more or less, because, you know, all we did was paint and sheetrock and wire and things like that to get that house ready to sell. And
yeah, and, sounds like a lot of stress and lactic acid.
Right. And so, I did get in a lot of miles over the winter, but then in the spring, it all fell apart. And
in the spring, it was going to the dump every day.
Yeah, right, taking a load to the dump or the recycle center or whatever, you know. But, yeah, we closed on the house, and we got out of there at the end of June and started driving to the East Coast. And, yeah, so we made it. We met our deadline and started walking, and things just worked out physically for both of us, I think. We've been doing really great. A couple of little hiccups. I like sprained my ankle on day 3.
Yeah.
Well, this is embarrassing. Do we have to go home now? Did I break something? But that resolved itself. And Julie's had a little trouble in the mountains with her breathing. I'll let her talk about that if she likes. But when you're up around 8,000-9,000 feet and there's a headwind and it's about 17 degrees, it's a little hard to breathe. And she has some special circumstances.
Yeah,
I can relate as somebody who has exercise-induced asthma. The altitude definitely hit me hard, too. So how did that work out for you, Julie? Do you have to have a face mask or something to deflect the cold air from going down?
It's like when we are up high. Well, I had lung cancer. I had a lobectomy, so I had part of my removed. And my diaphragm doesn't work because of that. I had a complication. So it's tough when you have increased oxygen demands and your body can't really compensate for it. So the face mask doesn't work that well, but what works is just, you know, stop and look around, you know, just take a little break.
I just thought
it's usually really beautiful. So
yeah,
it works all just fine. But we got away from the howling headwinds by going south to New Mexico. So that's pretty nice.
Now, the whole time you knew that you were going to be crossing kind of the high plains and mountains during basically the winter, right? So you must not have been apprehensive. You've figured that people have done it before. This is going to work.
Well, probably naively optimistic. And I did think that we were going to get through the mountains like in October, November. And then be kind of in the desert around this time, you know, so. But, you know, it's just like that's why we had to alter our route just to get away from those conditions a little bit. And I think, you know, in the next few weeks, we're going to be dropping down on a plane east-west at about the level of Phoenix, more or less, a little bit north of that. But so I think conditions will be pretty.
Well, we have altered our route the whole way, though, because we kind of thought we were going to walk a certain way and then we just kind of tweak it depending on where we are. Like, we found out that there is a trail that went all across the whole state of New York.
Yes.
So wouldn't you walk across the trail?
Yeah.
That's what we decided to do. So we didn't even know that there was the Erie Canalway Trail, which was over 300 miles long, and we took that all across New York.
Okay.
And maybe it's a little longer, but it was awesome. Like, we walked through some pretty big cities, Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, but also we walked along the Erie Canal. And so it was flat. It's a not really rails to trails, is it?
Where I grew up in New Jersey, we had a Delaware Raritan Canal, and it's essentially you're walking on what they called the tow path, where they used to have horse teams pull the barges on the canal. Wow.
That's exactly what it was.
Great,
yeah, so.
Great amenity that you guys, you found it after all, even if it wasn't in your original plans. Fantastic.
Right.
So the trip becomes full of this kind of serendipity and then, you know, necessity making for new plans every few days, maybe, it sounds like.
Another good example of that was we were a little bit dreading Missouri and Kansas.
Yeah.
Just because they're so vast, you know. And and then, you know, admittedly, I was a little wary of the political situations in some of the states. But we got to Missouri and found out about the Katy Trail, the K-A-T-Y Trail. And it's an actual rails to trails along the Missouri River, and that turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened to us.
Missouri was amazing.
Yeah, we loved Missouri, and we then went on to Kansas, where we had another 100 miles of rails to trails, and dirt roads, endless dirt roads. Imagine in your neck of the woods, 100 miles of the Fox Farm Road, for example, and it was just awesome.
Wow.
You know, we you know, didn't talk to many people, but I'll tell you what, anybody that drove by stopped and talked to us.
Yeah, and we got really good at mooing.
Yeah.
Mooing back to cows. Great at that.
You had me there for a second. I wasn't sure who you were mooing at. Okay, got it. To bovine creatures.
When we're in that part of the country, Julie, I'll say, well, did you talk to anybody today? And she says, well, you know, I did approach a herd of cows and say, excuse me, do you have a moment to talk about harm reduction?
Well, well, that is pretty funny, Jess. And because time will eventually catch up to us in this interview, I did want to maybe turn to Julie to talk a little bit more about that very thing, the harm reduction. And you mentioned already your experience as an emergency room nurse pointing you in this direction. I know my family has not had deaths, but near-death experiences, and friends have had lost children along the way. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about what?
Yeah, you know, what definitely. You know, the leading cause of death for people in the U.S. that are 40 years old and under is opioid overdose.
Yeah.
You know, so 80,000 people in 2022 died of opioid overdose in our country. And that, to me, means 80,000 people could still be alive if they had Narcan, if they were using drugs with someone else to, you know, if they weren't alone, if our laws were different, if the stigma associated with using drugs didn't make it so that people had to use in secret, if we had safe consumption sites like they do in Europe and Canada, I feel like there's a lot that can be done to help prevent these deaths. And it's really complicated. And part of it is, you know, people are afraid even to, I mean, even the medical community isn't really helpful.
And is one of the bottom line things the moral judgment about facilitating anyone ever taking drugs by being there with them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. And we, you know, we stop and talk to everyone, and people are really open a lot of times to talk. A lot of people have a family member or friend or, you know, like a friend of a friend who lost someone to overdose. And they'll say, oh, well, that person was making bad choices. But when you talk to someone a little bit about people making bad choices, you have to admit that, like, all of us have made a bad choice. It's not about who makes a bad choice doesn't deserve to live, or do they? No. It's just we have to do better, and I think we can do better by embracing people who use drugs and letting them know that we care about them, we want them to live. And the research has shown that if you use harm reduction techniques like we're talking about, you know, that people do end up staying alive, and they do end up seeking treatment, and lots of people recover, because, you know, it's a lot easier to achieve something like that if you're supported by your community and your family and your friends than if you're just alone, you know. So
and you certainly pointed out that it's complicated, but are there a few basic things that folks around the country might want to make sure that their public health officials and their cities and counties are doing to optimize the possible outcomes? What can people be lobbying for?
Well, we're talking about harm reduction, which is saying you have a risky behavior, but we're going to reduce the harm that comes to you by following a few rules. You know, like a bicycle helmet is harm reduction because you're riding a bicycle, which is dangerous, but the helmet protects your head. You know, seat belts are harm reduction. So people who use drugs need to make sure that they have naloxone available to them and know how to use it. And I think that's something that now everybody should have in their first aid kit and have just on their person, because you never know when you're going to encounter someone who's overdosed, like in the bathroom at Holiday or at the grocery store you know what I mean? Like, there's just,
I do. So I have a question for you, Julie. Can I acquire Narcan as a civilian with no technical need for it?
Yep. It's over the counter. You can just go to Walgreens and buy it. Pretty expensive to do it that way. A lot of communities have easier ways to get it. Like, there are bigger cities are starting to have vending machines with free Narcan in it. I know that they did when we were in Ohio. We heard that there were some in Phoenix. In the region that we are in Minnesota, there's a couple of different organizations that offer free Narcan. You just go in and sign your name and they give it to you. Our website has a link to a couple of different places where you can get Narcan just mailed to you for free.
Wow.
So, and part learning how to use it, you know, like how do you tell if it's an opioid overdose and then how to use it. But what it is it's a nasal spray that you just squirt up someone's nose. And I mean, just to make it very simple, that's about it. There's other parts that come along to it too, but it's something that's so easy that if everyone was on board and knew what to do, boy, we could really save a lot of lives.
So, and Leo, it doesn't hurt the person to use Narcan.
If they could squirt it up your nose,
and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like I might have an accidental spill and someone's going to get hurt. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Well, we should give you the opportunity to let folks know how they can find your presence online, your website and or Facebook, so people could check in on this. It's simply walkforthelove.com?
Correct.
Okay. And then there's a Facebook page with under the same name, Walk for the Love. I noticed that nice comma in Walk for the Love.
Yeah, it has a little nuance there to it.
Yeah.
It's like walk for the love and walk for the love, you know?
Yeah, like, get out there and walk for the love. Yeah.
Did you go for a walk today, Leo?
No, I did not, Jess. And we're having another winter thaw. I have absolutely no excuse except that I did 8 hours of hard work on the email trail today. Sad, sad but true. I will do better tomorrow. Have you heard that before? I will walk for the love tomorrow.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Sure.
If I heard you right, Jess, you've done some new calculations and you might have as many as 850 miles more to go in your ever-evolving journey.
Eight or 900 miles to go, which, you know, used to be kind of imposing, but now it doesn't seem that hard at all. You know, it's like if you've done 2,700 miles in the last few months, another 800 or 900 isn't.
Sure. And if you're at 6,000 feet and you're heading towards the ocean in California, it would seemingly be all downhill, but you'll tell me there's a whole bunch of mountains in your way, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, it's awesome to visit with you guys. It's very inspiring, encouraging, and I can't wait to hear some stories at the end of the road. But for the meantime, I guess we'll sign off. And you do have, four-legged companions, though. How are they holding up?
They're doing well. You might remember Izzy. She's 17 years old.
Holy cow. No, I didn't think she could be around.
She this far, but I didn't think she'd make it to the Mississippi River, but she's actually thriving. And she's half deaf. No, she's all
she's
deaf.
She's all deaf. Half blind.
And daughter's around quite a bit, but every once in a while there's this spark of puppy in her that, you know, chases a ball or whatever, or fights with our other dog, who is actually a puppy of about a year and a half. So they're both doing well. The younger one does walk with us once in a while, but, you know, the roads are kind of dangerous. So
she did a lot of time in Kansas.
Yep. When we're on the dirt roads, you know, the Fox Farms of America, we do let her kick up her heels a little bit.
Wow. I just wanted to double check with Julie. There, folks who visit the website or Facebook can figure out a way to maybe chip in a little bit if they really want to show you some material support.
Oh, yep. There's some information on there if somebody wants to treat us to a night in a nice campground with showers. We got the Venmo and all that. People have been really generous. My former co-workers adopted us for a while, and we've got wonderful friends and family that have helped us get this far, which is awesome.
Wonderful. Steady on your way to the Pacific time zone, and ocean can't be far behind. Love to hear more when you guys get back. Of course, you're going to have to live somewhere else when you get back. And just that was an interesting thing I wanted to ask you about. You're enrolled at Grand Portage and you actually have a home there now to go to?
Yeah, that's kind of been considered our main residence for the last couple of few years. But we're going to rehabilitate the place in Clover Valley, hopefully. And Julie does have to go back to work, it sounds like.
Somewhere.
She's got a few years left in her. And so if she works in Two Harbors, maybe, or in Duluth.
Well, we'd love to have her.
Home base there in Clover Valley. So that'll be nice to be back there. And I'll be sure to come down and pester you once in a while.
Pleasure would be mine. Thank you. Thank you both for sharing some of the story. And can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, please check us out on also Instagram, Walk for the Love. And like us, friend us on Facebook.
Watch our stories every day.
Right. Julie's really good at putting up stories and reels every day. And read the blog on walkforthelove.com.
The blog is so good.
Yeah, and say hi to us. Yeah. It's always good to know that somebody's out there.
Absolutely. Well, hi from me. Hi from all of Clover Valley to you, Jess. We have missed you and can't wait to see you in person again down the road. You'll be retired from one journey and on to the next, and can't wait to see you on that neck of the journey.
Oh, nice.
Thanks, Leo.
Take care.
Thanks
now.
For the call.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Julie and Jess Koski, journeying across North America. Walk for the Love. You can look them up online at walkforthelove.com or on Facebook or Instagram. This is Leo for KTWH.